And pooped. Lightweight. But he did as she asked, and then it was just her and Nick arriving back at her apartment. "Do you want to come in?" she asked as he parked in the underground car park. "I wouldn't mind a coffee." Wordlessly, they travelled up in the lift. Without the buffer of Charlotte, the tension rose steadily between them, and Lizzie found it harder and harder to breathe. By the time the lift opened, she almost ran out, hastily unlocking her front door and retreating into the kitchen. There, she shrugged off her jacket and grabbed at the kettle. She was reaching out to turn on the tap when Nick put his hand on her wrist.
"When did these happen?"
he asked in a low, controlled voice, looking down at her bruises. Damn, she'd taken care to wear long sleeves and keep them covered these last few days. "A while ago." A muscle in his jaw jumped.
"How?"
She snatched her arm away. "It doesn't matter."
"It matters,"
he repeated with deceptive softness.
"Tell me how you got them, Lizzie."
"I was held a little too roughly," I told him, and he let go. It was near enough to the truth.
"Who?"
His eyes weren't warm or kind any more. They were hard. "None of your business," she snapped, focusing on filling the kettle. She didn't want to have this conversation. Not now. Not ever. And certainly not with Nick.
"When someone hurts a woman I care about, it is my business," he told her quietly.
When he could see she wasn't going to tell him, his jaw clenched.
"Was it Hank?"
Lizzie's head jerked, just a small movement, but enough to affirm Nick's suspicion. His gut twisted as he imagined what Hank must have been trying to do that required him to hold her so tightly it bruised her skin. With an oath, he moved away and dragged a hand through his hair.
"Have you got any idea how hard it is to watch you demeaning yourself with this procession of arrogant pricks?"
She flinched from his words but looked at him squarely. "It's my life," she retorted, anger simmering in her big blue eyes.
"Yes, but don't expect me to sit back and watch you mess it up," he asserted bluntly. "You look like hell."
"My brother's just died. How do you expect me to look?" Her anger was no longer simmering, but boiling over.
"Robert effectively died a long time ago."
His sympathy was in short supply, now he'd seen the bruises.
"There's more to all this than his death. First there was Charles, now Hank. Even before Charles, that list you gave me suggested a type, and it wasn't the kind you'd want to take home to your mother."
Her eyes flared. "Lucky I don't have a mother then." He ignored her.
"She'd be horrified, and you know it. You're letting these guys treat you like shit. Why?"
"Perhaps it's what I deserve," she replied, in a voice so quiet he almost couldn't hear it.
"What do you deserve?"
Incredulity had him almost shouting at her. "Yes, what I deserve." Her voice was stronger now, and she was walking towards him, hands on her hips, eyes blazing. "I killed Robert. I killed all of them. Now tell me I don't deserve to be punished." He stared at her open-mouthed.
"Is that really what you believe?"
"Yes." It came out as a tortured cry. Then she shoved at him. "Now go away and leave me alone." Nick couldn't believe what he was hearing, but Lizzie was glaring at him with such torment in her eyes, he knew she did. She believed every awful word she was saying. With his heart feeling like lead, he moved to put his arms around her, but she backed away. "No, don't touch me." Her voice started to break. "Piss off!"
"Like hell."
More roughly than he'd have liked, because she was still trying to get away from him, Nick wrapped his arms around her and held her. Held her until she stopped trying to break free and finally started to cry. Then he lifted her and carried her over to the sofa and held her again, just as he had all those months ago when he'd found her here.
"The driver of the other car killed them," he told her firmly. "Were you driving it?"
She glanced up, irritation written across her gorgeous, tear-stained face. "Don't try your fancy logic with me. I was the reason they were in that car. I was the one who phoned them, terribly homesick, and pleaded with them to come and see me. If I hadn't begged them to come, they wouldn't have been anywhere near the damn car."
And why do you think they came running when you called them?
Because I asked them to.
He shook his head, smoothing a hand down her soft blonde hair. No, Lizzie, because they loved you. Do you seriously think they'd want to see you like this, blaming yourself for their deaths? Is that truly what you believe?
When she didn't answer, he held his breath and hugged her closer.
Have you ever talked to anyone else about this?
He asked. Silently, she shook her head.
Then it's time you did. Bottling up this awful guilt for these last 2 years has made you unable to think straight. You've forgotten how much your mum and dad loved you, how much Robert loved you. They'd want you to be happy, not tormented by a totally misplaced sense of responsibility for what happened.
Slowly, Lizzie absorbed his words, feeling an incredible sense of relief that at last she'd voiced her anguish out loud. Nick hadn't done any of the things she'd feared, not condemned her, shouted at her stupidity, or laughed at her. He'd simply come back at her with quiet understanding and reasoned argument. For the first time since the accident, she took herself out of the equation and tried to see things as her parents would have. There was no doubt in her mind that seeing their beloved daughter riddled with guilt, punishing herself for her selfishness, wasn't what her family would have wanted. They'd done nothing but support her in her desire to become a model and in her move to America. Heck, how often had they told her how proud they were of what she'd achieved? How could she have forgotten that? But would they still be proud of her now? Her career, yes. Her lapse with Charles, definitely not. Perhaps it was time for her to stop torturing herself. At the very least, it was time to try. When do you go back? She asked after a while, aware she was still nestled against his chest, but far too secure to move away just yet.
Tomorrow evening.
Have you any plans for the day?
No. Why?
It was silly to be this nervous about asking. Would you mind spending some of it with me? She felt his chest shake a little and looked up to find he was laughing softly.
Who else do you think we'd plan to spend it with?
And now she felt even more silly, though it was tempered with a bubble of happiness. She might have said goodbye to her own family, but for another day at least, she'd still feel she belonged to someone. The next day, Nick said he didn't mind where they went, as long as it wasn't the places the tourists always went to. Charlotte said she wanted to do all the tourist favourites, the pier, the drive through Beverly Hills to see the actors' homes, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, the craziness of Venice Beach. Lizzie laughed and went to get her wig. She knew who'd win out of that argument. Later that afternoon, as she walked down the pier with her arms threaded through each of theirs, Lizzie felt lighter, more carefree than she could remember feeling for a long time. Even knowing they would later be getting on a plane didn't crush her like she thought it might. Following her confession to Nick, she felt she'd turned a corner. It didn't mean there weren't tears in her eyes when she dropped them off at the airport. She hugged Charlotte first, noticing how she then stood back, giving her and Nick some space.
So?
He gazed at her, his dark eyes giving hers a careful study. She smiled. So, here we are again.
Will you promise to talk to someone? See a psychiatrist or shrink, as I believe you Yanks call them.
I might live over here, but I'm English through and through. His expression told her that she hadn't answered his question, so she touched a hand to his face and said the words she knew he wanted to hear. I promise.
I'm going to check up on you,
he warned. I hope so. Seemingly satisfied, he gave her one last hug before picking up both his and Charlotte's bags and disappearing into the terminal building. It was only on the drive back that Lizzie began to realise that from this point on her life could change, if she wanted it to. With no more huge medical bills for Robert's care, the need to earn as much money as she could had disappeared. She could stop modelling, take a risk on a new career path, perhaps try out acting. And, she thought with a flutter of longing, she no longer had to stay in L.A. She could even return to England. There was a world of possibilities opening up for her, if she was brave enough to take them. Chapter 28. Nick kept to his threat and phoned Lizzie every couple of weeks. She didn't take him up on his offer to join him and Charlotte for Christmas, telling him she'd already agreed to spend it with Catherine. Knowing how hard it would have been to see her, Nick buried his disappointment and told himself it was for the best. Every time they spoke, he was relieved to hear her sounding more and more positive. Yes, she'd found a great psychiatrist who was really helping her. Yes, she was eating properly. No, she wasn't wallowing. She was getting on with her life. No, she didn't have a man at the moment. It was the last question he dreaded asking most. One day he wouldn't like the answer. "I'm too busy for a man in my life," she declared when he picked up the phone to her this time. "I've been having acting lessons." He was delighted for her. He really was. It had been 3 months since Robert's death, and Lizzie was beginning to sound like the Lizzie of old. Bubbly, excited. "Soon she won't need you anymore," a nasty voice niggled at him. "Nick?" He shook himself. "Sorry, what did you say?" She huffed. "Forget it. It's not important."
"It was clearly important enough for you to ask in the first place."
"Yes, not important enough for you to listen."
"It's 5:30 in the morning here. I've not had my first coffee yet. Give me a break."
He heard a gentle sigh. "I'm over in London in February for London Fashion Week."
"That's great."
"And I wondered if you wanted to come." He froze, wishing to God he'd had that coffee. "Okay, I get the message," she said into the gaping silence he'd left. "I didn't think you'd be interested."
"I didn't say I wasn't interested."
He ached to see her, to take her out for a meal, to bring her back to the barn and just be with her, if that was all he could have. But watch a fashion show?
"Obviously, it's not my type of thing, but I'm sure Charlotte would love to go."
"Never mind. Forget I asked." She sounded cooler now, more detached. "I don't want your sister to feel as if she has to go."
"Are you kidding? Charlotte would bust a gut to get to a fashion show."
He realised belatedly that he had hurt her. If she'd asked him to go, it must have been important to her. Yet, because he knew he'd feel uncomfortable, he'd snubbed her invitation.
"If you'd like me to be there too, then I'd like to go."
He thought he could hear the smile in her voice. "Liar?"
"Not a lie. Why wouldn't I want the chance to see a lot of gorgeous, leggy women not wearing very much?"
His heart lifted as he heard her laughter. He hadn't realised how little she had laughed since Robert had died. Since before that, if he was honest, at least compared to how often she had laughed before her family's accident. "Okay, if that's the only reason you want to come, I'll take it."
"It's not the only reason. I'm quite looking forward to seeing you not wearing very much."
His remark was met with a silence that shriveled his balls and punctured his heart. "She's your bloody friend, you dimwit." Mortified at his slip from friend to lover, he cleared his throat.
"So, what are the dates so I can block out my diary?"
"I'll email them to you." Her voice was quieter now. Subdued? Horrified?
"Great."
His voice was too loud, as if he was trying too hard.
"I'll look forward to seeing you then."
Lizzie put down the phone thoughtfully. Had Nick just flirted with her? In which case, was it too soon? Too dangerous to hope that maybe, just maybe, there was still a chance for them? Then again, he hadn't sounded keen to see the show. If the boot had been on the other foot, if he'd phoned to invite her to something that was important to him, she'd have jumped up and down with joy. Of course, it was early in the morning for him. Before she could overthink it all, Catherine phoned. "Hey there, how's things?" Nick hadn't been the only one to keep an eye on her in the months since Robert's death. Catherine had taken to checking on her regularly too, insisting she join her for Christmas, making sure they had lunch every other week. "Good, thank you. I've just been on the phone to Nick. I invited him to London Fashion Show." She didn't think it was possible to splutter elegantly, but that's what Catherine did.
"I bet he'll love that."
"You're right. He's agreed to go, but I got the impression he'd rather go to a karaoke bar, sober, and stand up to sing." Catherine's voice softened. "And you're disappointed, aren't you?" "Yes," she admitted. I thought you might have understood how much I wanted to see a face in the crowd who was there to support, not critique. I always regret that since I moved here, neither my parents or Robert saw me modelling. She halted, forced herself to be truthful. I guess, in all honesty, I want him there for more than that. I want him there so he'll start to see me not as the beaten, battered woman I've become, but the woman I was before all that, before the accident, before Charles, the model, doing what I do best. And I'm sure if you'd explained it like that, the man who hates the limelight, hates being out of his comfort zone, would have agreed to come without a second's thought. Feeling immeasurably better, Lizzie smiled. How did you get to be so wise? Age, my dear, just age. Now, my producer wants to meet you. Lizzie held a hand over her heart, feeling it thump. He does? He does, Catherine confirmed. He was thrilled to hear you were having acting lessons. Obviously, there'll be many other actresses he needs to consider, and you'd have to go through screening tests. But he did let slip he thought you'd be absolutely perfect for the role of Gretchen. It was a film Catherine was starring in. Gretchen was her daughter, a grieving widow who, racked with guilt at surviving the accident her husband and child didn't, had begun to embark on a series of increasingly dangerous one-night stands. It wasn't hard to see why, at least on paper, she was perfect for it. I appreciate your note of caution. I won't get too excited, she said breathlessly, her pulse racing. Catherine chuckled. I hope you're a better actress in front of the camera than you are down the phone. I'm a bloody awesome actress, Lizzie replied, laughing. And I know that's not very English of me, but I can't help it. I think this is where my future lies. And isn't it a wonderful coincidence that this film will be shot in England? Catherine added. If you get the role, it might not just be your career this film will help to launch. As Lizzie ended the call, hope bloomed in her heart. Many months ago, after Sardinia, Nick had asked her to stay with him. Then, with Robert, with her modelling, she hadn't been able to. Perhaps if this role came off, if she came back to live in the same country as him again, if he could stop seeing her as the emotionally shaky shell of a woman she'd turned into, if all that could happen, perhaps there was a chance they could rekindle what they had. Chapter 29. To say he was bemused was an understatement. Nick couldn't believe he was sitting amongst this predominantly female audience, watching the most incredible, and to his mind incredulous, creations slide down the runway on models too thin and gaunt for his liking. Did designers really think women were going to buy this stuff? It was increasingly hard for him to believe, as yet another model sashayed down the catwalk, spinning around on impossibly high heels and wearing an outfit surely put together by a child. He stiffened automatically as Hank made his entrance, glaring at the audience as he strutted down the runway. The tanned, beautifully chiselled muscles of his chest were amply displayed by the open silk shirt he was almost wearing. If looks could kill, Nick thought grimly, the bastard would be dead. Not wanting to waste any more of his energy on the prick, Nick glanced to his side. Charlotte was like a child at Christmas, round-eyed and open-mouthed. Well, at least someone was enjoying herself. Then Lizzie appeared on the catwalk, and immediately his eyes wanted to look nowhere else. Totally unaware he was doing it, Nick straightened on his chair, his neck craning to get a better view. Whereas with the other models he had noticed the clothes more than them, this time it was the other way round. Oh, he noticed enough of the wisps of silk that hung over her body to realise there wasn't much to them. Whatever she had on, it was the body beneath it that made it what it was. As she slowly glided down the catwalk, her hips swaying just a little, her head held high, her movements both graceful and sexy, he felt a burst of pride. He'd always known she was beautiful, with a face the camera adored. Only now did he realise how much more there was to what she did than simply smile. He wasn't the only male with a tongue hanging out of his mouth as she'd reached the end of the walk with a sensuous jiggle of her hips. She was smoking hot, sexy as hell. She owned the catwalk, and nobody, nobody in that room looked anywhere else but at her. A split second later, her gaze sought out his, and for one glorious instant, he felt the connection. It was as if they were alone in the room, just the two of them. Her lips curved in a half-smile, and her eyes... Oh, God, her eyes! What were they saying? But all too soon she was turning and moving away from him.
You look like you want to double her up.
His focus remained on Lizzie's retreating figure. He couldn't look away.
She sure has a way of moving those long legs of hers.
Yes, yeah, she does. Charlotte frowned. Nick, is there still something going on between you both? I know you used to have this crush on her and that you had a short fling.
We did, and it's over,
he replied shortly. The abruptness of his manner no doubt indicating to his highly perceptive sister that for him it was anything but over. Lizzie disappeared from the stage and he quickly changed the subject.
So, what do you think of all the frocks?
Charlotte took a moment to scrutinise his face, but thankfully seemed to think better of launching into a long interrogation on his love life, at least for now.
Frocks,
she replied instead, her voice signalling that it was possible for someone to sound both incredulous and disgusted at the same time. That's a word out of the Dark Ages. What you're looking at here, dear brother, is cutting-edge design, haute couture. If you're going to be hanging round fashion shows, you really need to use the right language. Nick didn't plan on ever going to another fashion show as long as he lived, but he kept his mouth firmly shut. All he wanted to do now was go home, put some miles between him and Lizzie while he strapped his heart into some sort of order again. With distance, he could almost manage to forget her and what he'd lost, at least for some of the time. After Lizzie had floated down the runway one last time, he turned to face his sister. Her eyes weren't on the catwalk. They were fixed unblinkingly on him.
"I'm going to get myself a drink," he muttered. "Do you want anything?"
Charlotte threaded her arm through his. "Actually, yes, there is something I want," she stated softly and very precisely. "Come with me." Leading the way, she propelled him very firmly out of the main auditorium and into a small side room. There she pushed him, none too gently, onto a plush velvet settee. "Does Lizzie know how you feel about her, Nick?" He felt the blood drain from his face. Was he really that transparent? Please, God, let it only be his sister who was able to read him that closely, because if Lizzie knew it too... He shuddered. It might work if they both believed they'd had a sweet affair that was now over. It wouldn't work if Lizzie thought he was still pining for her. Because then friendship would get confused with pity, and pity was something he couldn't live with. Avoiding Charlotte's eyes, he looked down at his hands.
"I'm not sure what you mean," he tried.
"Then I'll spell it out. Does she know you love her?" He tried a casual shrug, though his acting had always been lousy.
"Of course she does. She's been like family. I suspect you love her, too. I mean, we've known each other forever."
Charlotte pulled her armchair closer and hissed in frustration.
"Stop it! I'm not talking about love between friends, love between family. I'm talking love between man and woman. Love that should lead to marriage, children, and happy ever after."
Gently she patted his face. "Why have you never told her you love her, Nick?" she asked more softly. He shut his eyes and rubbed a hand across his forehead, feeling a build-up of tension that would probably lead to one humdinger of a hangover.
What good would telling her serve? We tried being lovers. It didn't work out. I'm not about to embarrass her by spilling my feelings.
What if she feels the same way? Something passed between you both out there on the catwalk earlier. It wasn't just friendship.
Leave it, he snapped. Yes, of course I love her. I always have. But the fact is, she doesn't feel the same way about me. That's why she ended it.
You love me? Suddenly, horror of horrors. He looked over his left shoulder to find Lizzie behind him, her face as pale as a sheet. Welcome to total humiliation. With an anguished groan, he leant forward and hung his head in his hands, waiting for his frozen brain to come up with some totally rational, believable reason for why the words she just heard didn't actually mean what she thought they did. He couldn't think of any. All he could think of was how much he needed to get out of this damn place as quickly as possible, to hang on to any tiny shreds of dignity he still possessed.
"How long have you been listening?"
He raised his head and dared to look at Lizzie. "Long enough." Her eyes were startlingly bright, her face still showing signs of shock. She moved towards him, and he guessed she was wondering what to do, how to console him, how to help him out of the giant crater he'd just found himself in. He, too, was trying to work out how to escape when salvation arrived in the unlikely form of Hank.
"Ah, there you are, babe,"
he announced, striding up to Lizzie.
"They need us for the finale."
He placed a proprietary arm around Lizzie's waist, and Nick instantly saw red.
"Get your bloody hands off her,"
he growled, shooting to his feet. Hank raised a dark eyebrow, a sneer sliding across his handsome features.
"Who the hell are you?" "I'm the man who's going to shove a fist in your face and ruin those perfect features of yours if you so much as touch her again."
Anger shimmered off him as he took a deliberate step forward, putting himself right in the model's personal space. He had never been more grateful for his height. Hank glared back for a few thumping moments, then dropped his arm from Lizzie's waist.
"Time to go, sweetheart. I'll be waiting for you."
He swaggered out the same way he'd entered. "Nick." He could see she didn't know what to do, what to say.
"Leave it."
Her eyes silently pleaded with him to talk to her, but Nick had had enough torture for one day.
"You know, once there was a time I didn't think I was good enough for you," he told her. "God knows my dear uncle was fond enough of telling me that, and in many ways it's still true. But when I look at the type of man you prefer, I realize I'm better than that. I would have been good for you if you'd let me."
A wave of utter weariness descended on him, and he slumped back onto the sofa.
"You'd better go."
"But we need to talk about this."
"No."
Nick spoke over her. Was she mad? Did she really think he wanted to talk about this? Sit down and pick over the bones of their relationship, friendship, whatever the hell it was, when he just opened up his heart and let her see right inside it?
"Don't keep them waiting. Go and do your job."
He could see Lizzie was torn, in two minds whether to try and rescue their friendship or ensure she still had a career. Unsurprisingly, the career won. "Okay, I can see you need some space, but don't think you're running away. I'll come and find you as soon as I'm done. There are things that need to be said." Perhaps, he thought, but he wasn't planning on saying anything for a while, at least not until he got his head together and didn't feel like dying with embarrassment every time he looked at her. Realizing this was goodbye, he stood and gently kissed her cheek.
"Your parents would have been proud of you tonight. Robert would have been proud."
He paused and looked deep into her eyes.
"I'm really proud of you,"
he added softly. Tears spilled onto her cheeks. "This conversation isn't over," she warned, her voice thick with emotion. But it was. Nick made sure of it, although he had to drag Charlotte kicking and screaming and flinging words like coward, numbskull, and pig-headed at him. He was soon out in the cold London evening and flagging down a waiting taxi. Lizzie should have been on cloud nine. The show had been incredibly well received, and so had she. Yet instead of enjoying the adulation of her peers, basking in the delight of the Estella design team, she was trying to find Nick. In her heart, she realized it was a fruitless exercise, as if he was really going to hang around, ready to put his heart on his sleeve and talk to her. In the end, pleading a headache, she escaped into a waiting limo and rang his mobile. He answered on the second ring. "That's it, then? You leave without saying goodbye?" Although she knew shouting at him wasn't likely to help, she couldn't stop herself. Her emotions were running far too high for a calm conversation.
"I did say goodbye,"
he replied stiffly, immediately on the defensive. She remembered his parting words about how proud he was of her, his way of saying goodbye. "And what about what I overheard?"
"That was a private conversation with my sister."
"Private? You don't think I have a right to know how you feel?" When he didn't reply, she tried another angle. "Were you ever going to tell me?" His sigh was deep and heartfelt.
"No."
She didn't know what answer she was expecting, but it wasn't that. "No?"
What good would it have done?
His voice was quiet and steady in direct contrast to hers.
"Listen to you now. You don't know what to say to me, how to deal with me. That's exactly what I was trying to avoid."
Lizzie could think of plenty of things to say to him, but not now. Not on the phone, and not when she was so cross with him, both for leaving without talking, and for being so irritatingly calm.
"Damn you, Nick! I hate it when you speak to me in those careful, measured tones."
There was a long pause.
"That's a shame, because this is who I am."
"Nick!"
This conversation was going all wrong, and she didn't know how to get it back on track.
"Take care. Have a safe flight back. Goodbye, Lizzie."
She listened to the dial tone in a haze of confusion and utter frustration. Then she threw the phone on the limo floor, stretched out on the seat, and screamed. Thank heaven for the glass screen separating her and the driver. It was only when she arrived at the hotel she'd been put up in that her brain finally started to make sense of everything she'd heard. Nick loved her. The person who knew her better than anyone else, who knew absolutely everything about her, including her god-awful mistakes, actually, hallelujah, jump with joy, shout from the rooftops, loved her. A slow smile crept across her face, quickly followed by an ear-to-ear grin. If someone as rock-steady as Nick still loved her, even after everything he'd seen, she couldn't be that much of a screw-up. Could she? Chapter 30 Lizzie knocked on the familiar rustic wooden door. It was 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and she'd taken a punt on Nick being at the barn rather than in London. After she'd finished the final show on Saturday, she'd driven down to her parents' home. Her home, now she bought it from Nick. There, she'd spent the night trying to work out what she was going to say to him, which was a laugh, really, because she knew even if she'd had a week instead of a night, she still wouldn't know how to handle this meeting. It had been 3 days since Nick had admitted he loved her and then walked away. 3 days during which she'd fretted about whether his version of love and her version of love meant the same thing. The door creaked open.
"Lizzie?"
She watched as a flash of pleasure came and went in his deep brown eyes, leaving only confusion. He had the look of a man who'd just woken up, only to find he had a giant hangover. She could almost see his mind trying to grasp what was going on, whether she was real or not. As she peered at him more closely, she realized her hunch about the hangover probably wasn't far off the mark. His hair was mussed, his face drawn and badly in need of a shave. Those glorious brown eyes, on closer inspection, were bloodshot and exhausted. "You look terrible," she blurted. Instinctively, she reached out to hug him, but he flinched, moving quickly into the hall.
"It's good to see you too," he replied stiffly, moving aside to let her in.
A night to consider what she was going to say, and the best she managed was, "You look terrible." She was a flippin' genius. "Sorry, it's just you look kind of tired." She let the sentence hang, knowing if she said anything further, she was just going to dig herself an even bigger hole.
"I had a late night."
She walked past him and into the lounge, hyper-aware of his long, lean body following quietly a few steps behind. It felt ridiculous, all this stiff formality, the tension. Why couldn't they just hug each other like they used to do, like she so very much wanted to? "So I see," she replied instead, pointedly looking at the empty whiskey bottle and single glass. What was he trying to do, drink himself to death? Hastily he removed the evidence, throwing the bottle forcibly into the bin.
"So, what brings you here?"
he asked. His restless eyes seemed to touch everywhere but her.
"I thought you'd be on your way back to L.A. by now."
"I thought I'd take a break. Check up on the house." He nodded, thrusting a hand through his wayward hair, making it look even more dishevelled.
"I would have gone in and checked it for you. You only had to ask."
"I know, but I'd already decided I was going to stay in England for a bit anyway." Silence hung between them. Lizzie wanted him to ask why, but he didn't. Instead, he stared down at his grey tracksuit bottoms and creased T-shirt, as if suddenly realising what a mess he looked.
"Look, sorry, I wasn't expecting any visitors."
Finally, he met her eyes, giving her a small, rueful smile.
"I'm not quite with it.
Do you mind if I grab a quick shower? I may act a bit more human after that. He indicated to the kitchen. Make yourself at home. You know where everything is. For a moment he held her gaze, his expression telling her quite clearly he remembered the time she spent here, when it had been her home too. As his look burned into hers, Lizzie's shoulders relaxed. There, in his eloquent eyes, she had seen all she needed to see. Her heart lifted and she started to smile, but he quickly turned and walked towards the stairs. While Lizzie reacquainted herself with the kitchen, Nick tried to revive himself under the hot shower. Of all the times for her to pop in, she must think he was some heartbroken sado pining away for her, which, okay, wasn't far from the truth. But hell, it wasn't as if he broke into the whiskey every night. Just on those occasions after he had accidentally blurted out his feelings to the woman he loved, only for her to stare back at him in shock. Dragging on a pair of faded jeans and a navy polo shirt, he scrutinised himself in the mirror. It was bad enough she'd found out he was in love with her. He wasn't going to humiliate himself further by giving her the impression he couldn't live without her. Picking up the razor, he shaved the stubble off his chin and then combed his damp hair into some sort of order. The face that stared back at him was still gaunt, bearing all the signs of a man who'd hardly slept the last three nights, but it was a definite improvement on 15 minutes ago. He took his time walking back downstairs, taking a few seconds to drink in the sight of his unexpected guest. She was curled up on his sofa, just where she used to sit. The last time she'd been here, they'd gone from friends to lovers. What were they now? Certainly not lovers, but not friends either. Once more he cursed his weakness. He shouldn't have slept with her. He'd known it would complicate matters and end in heartbreak. Being able to say, "I told you so," wasn't much of a consolation. She looked up as she heard the stair creak and gave him a smile, one that reached into the depths of her stunning eyes and made his heart squeeze so painfully in his chest it pushed all the breath from his lungs. Transfixed, with every cell in his body crying out to him to run over and claim her, he stood on the final stair. She looked incredible. Unlike him, she definitely didn't have the appearance of a woman who hadn't been able to sleep. Quite the opposite, in fact. She was positively glowing with contentment, radiating happiness.
"You look well."
Inwardly he groaned. That was what he told an aged aunt, not a flaming supermodel. Her eyebrows raised a fraction. "You told me that on Thursday, but thank you, again." The silence stretched, and Nick felt like he was wading through a deep bog. Every step he took made him sink further. "I made you a cup," she told him, indicating the mug on the table.
"Thanks."
His voice sounded scratchy, and he coughed to clear his throat, taking up a place on the sofa opposite her.
"So, how long are you going to be in England?"
She smiled and took a sip of tea. "That depends." Was it his imagination, or was she acting coy?
"On what?"
"On how long the man I'm in love with wants me to stay." For a few desperate seconds, time stood still. He wanted to be mistaken, to have misheard her somehow, but the soft look in her eyes told him he hadn't.
"Oh, I didn't realise you'd met someone new."
He struggled to sound normal and not like a man whose heart was being trampled on.
"I thought you said you were too busy for men."
"I haven't. Met someone new, that is."
"Oh."
This wasn't making any sense. His tired, dazed brain couldn't work it out. Then a cold shiver ran up his spine.
"Bloody hell, it's not Hank, is it?"
If Nick's face hadn't looked so anguished, Lizzie would have burst out laughing. "Hank? God, no. Give me credit for having some sense."
"Good, because you deserve a damn sight better than a man like him."
He said it with such utter conviction her heart turned to goo and she couldn't seem to stop grinning. "You know, there was a time, not that long ago, when I wouldn't have believed that statement." He stared at her.
"What do you mean?"
"I mean that for a couple of years after the accident, I didn't think I deserved love and happiness, or a man who could give me both." She moved forward so she could perch on the edge of the sofa and look directly into his eyes. "I didn't think I deserved you."
"Me?"
He gaped at her in open-mouthed astonishment.
"You didn't think you deserved me?"
he repeated, clearly confused.
"How the hell did you figure that one out?"
"I figured I wasn't allowed to be happy when my parents were dead, especially when I was the one who..."
"Stop that,"
he cut in forcefully.
"We've been through this. You didn't have anything to do with their deaths. You loved them. They knew that, just as they loved you."
"I know." She put her mug down on the table, her hands trembling too much to hold it. "Thanks to you, and the lovely psychiatrist I've been talking to, I've finally begun to accept that. I've been so wrapped up in my own thoughts I'd forgotten to see things from their side. As you pointed out, they would have wanted me to be happy. I'm not just paying lip service when I say I know that now. I've always known it, but somewhere along the line I lost sight of it for a while."
"And are you happy?"
His voice was rough with the emotion he was clearly trying to keep contained.
"Does this man you love make you happy?"
His face was so earnest, his eyes blazing with a love he couldn't hide, but there was also anguish. He really didn't have a clue. "He would make me happy if he stopped staring at me and kissed me instead." For a second he looked baffled. Then she had the satisfaction of seeing the truth finally dawn. Anguish and confusion left his eyes, astonishment and wonder filling their place.
"Lizzie, I don't know what to say."
"You don't need to say anything." Before Nick had a chance to think, to work out the implications of what she just told him, she was sitting on his lap, her hands round his neck. His response was sharp and immediate. In a kind of mesmerized trance, he watched her lips descend onto his and her hands drift under his shirt, running over his chest. He groaned out loud at their touch, shifting so he could have better access to her. He pulled apart her blouse, revealing a sheer lace bra. Could she have worn anything sexier? Anything more capable of sending him hurtling into a frenzy of desire? But even as he fumbled for the clasp, a part of his brain was holding up a red flag, warning him to stop. As his body clamoured to get closer to her, to lose himself in her, his mind was dragging him back to reality.
"Oh, Lizzie," he gently pushed her back. "I'm going to hate myself forever, but I can't do this."
He felt her stiffen. "What is it? At the fashion show you told your sister you loved me." Pain clouded her eyes. "Weren't you telling the truth?"
"Are you out of your mind?" he gaped at her. "Lizzie, I've loved you all my life. I was in love with you when you were too young to understand what love was all about."
He caught her face in his hands.
"I still love you. I will always love you."
"Then what's the problem?"
"I can't do another fling,"
he admitted brokenly.
"I love you so damn much, more than you'll ever know, but I'm sorry, I can't go there again. The last one nearly killed me."
Gently, he smoothed at a stray lock of her hair, wondering how he could sit here and turn her down. But she had made him greedy, made him want more.
"I want forever, Lizzie, not just a few stolen weeks between your modelling commitments."
Her eyes cleared and she beamed back at him. "Blimey, is that all? Why on earth do you think I'm here? That's what I want, too. I'm not going back to L.A. I'm moving back to England. I was rather hoping it was going to be with you." His hands were trembling so much he had to clasp them together. She'd finally said what he wanted to hear, but after all this time he had trouble believing it.
"Lizzie, oh, God."
He shook his head, hoping it would help him to think clearly.
"You know how I feel about you, but you need to think very hard about this. Your life is over there. I don't want you giving it up just to be with me."
"Why not?"
"Because modelling has always been your dream. You love the drama, the excitement, the razzmatazz. If you gave all that up, in time you'd resent it. You'd resent me."
"I've lived the dream, Nick. And yes, for a while it was fun and I had a ball, but that part of my life is over now. I don't enjoy it any more. I haven't for quite a while now." He looked at her in surprise.
"Then why have you carried on?"
"Because it's all I knew. Robert's care was expensive, and I couldn't see a way of me earning enough money from anything else. I don't have any qualifications. All I have is a photographic face. Gently, he cradled her face in his hands.
I've told you before, there's a damn sight more to you than just a face.
Her eyes softened. You always did have faith in me.
Because I see you, Lizzie Donoghue.
He fixed her with his gaze, hoping she could see his sincerity, his utter belief in her.
Not just your beauty, but you.
She gave him a tremulous smile, her hands reaching up to grip his. You know I told you about the acting lessons. Well, I'd been given a role in a film being shot this summer, in England. His heart jumped.
Seriously?
I've been lucky, she added hastily. Catherine recommended me. She's starring in the film. I'm going to play her wayward daughter.
But that's fantastic.
He hoped she could hear the pride in his voice. She must have done, because she beamed back at him. I'm yours, forever, Nick, if you want me. He rained kisses down her nose, across her cheeks.
You need to be sure, Lizzie. I've let you disappear out of my life too many times already. Once I've got you, I'll never let you go.
I'm banking on it.
And what about the fact that I'm not your type? That I'm, what did you say back in L.A.? Too nice?
And why the hell wasn't he just taking her at her word and grabbing her with open arms? Why was he giving her this chance to doubt herself? She snuggled closer onto his lap and squeezed him tight. You've always been my type. You say you've loved me all your life, but I have loved you all my life, too. When he was about to interrupt her, she placed a finger on his lips, stopping him. I have. Why do you think I wanted you to be my first lover?
But I thought...
I know, you were wrong. It wasn't just something I wanted to cross off my to-do list. I didn't want just any man. I wanted you. I may have been too young to really understand the concept, but I loved you, Nick. He cursed loudly at the wasted years, but Lizzie simply smiled. Perhaps I needed those years to experiment, to grow and work out what I really wanted in life. And now I know. I want a man who'll give, and not just take. He'll be there for me, no matter what mess I might get myself into, and I get into quite a lot, as you've seen. One who'll tell me when I'm being stupid. He'll be calm when I'm being irrational. A strong, solid man who can see through the image of Elizabeth Donoghue right down to the real me, and who loves me anyway. She didn't let him speak, which was just as well. He was far too choked to say anything. Instead, still sitting astride his lap, she lowered her mouth to his. His mind was now so full, his head was in danger of exploding. Barely half an hour ago he'd been a broken man, wondering how he was going to pick up the pieces of his life without her. Now here she was, not just his friend, but his passionate, wonderful lover, one who wanted to spend the rest of her life here with him. He groaned as she rubbed her body against him. Can we do this now? She whispered huskily in his ear.
Hell yes.
He would have loved to have lifted her gently into his arms and carried her manfully upstairs to his bed, but that wasn't going to happen.
I'm afraid, he muttered thickly as he struggled to undo her trousers. This is going to be over far too quickly.
Making quick work of undoing his zipper, she laughed softly against his neck. That's okay. You have a lifetime to make it up to me. Lizzie was home, and she'd never felt happier. Forget the adrenaline high of a fashion show or a perfume launch. Lying in bed next to the man she loved was a million times better. She smiled as she watched him sleep. He'd admitted, somewhere between the second and third time they'd made love, that he hadn't slept much since he'd left her in L.A. all those months ago. Thankfully, his face looked less drawn now, more at peace. What a gorgeous face it was, she thought, as she traced the outline of his strong jaw and his lovely, straight nose. But it was the man inside her that was the most beautiful part of him. He gave her laughter, security, peace. If she had to sum it up in one word, it would be contentment. With him, she didn't feel the need to do anything. She was happy to just be. Coming back to England had been the easiest decision she'd ever had to make, especially after she'd found the note in her mother's diary. Suddenly realising she hadn't shown Nick yet, Lizzie scampered out of bed and rummaged round her handbag. Clasping the diary to her, she leapt back into bed.
"What on earth?"
Nick opened an eye. "Sorry, but I wanted to show you this." She thrust the bookmark page under his bleary eyes. "I've been reading through all my mother's diaries. Please read out what she wrote on my 21st birthday." Nick struggled to sit up and focus his eyes. Frowning, he looked down at the neatly written page.
"My darling daughter looks stunning today," he started, then grinned sideways at her. Obviously such a rare occasion, she needed to mention it in her diary.
Lizzie thumped him on the arm. "Keep reading."
"She seems really happy," he continued, smirking slightly. "I'm sure modelling is everything she dreamt it would be. If only she would stop cavorting with all these slick young Americans. She's brought another one out with her tonight. He's all white teeth, square jaw, and boundless confidence."
Nick stopped to pull a face at her, but when his eyes skimmed over the next few sentences, the amusement left his eyes and his voice turned husky.
"I wish Lizzie could see how wrong this man is for her. I wish she could see the real gem that's right under her nose. Dear Nick, who is so clearly in love with her. I hope one day they will find each other."
Listening to him read out her mother's words, tears welled once more in Lizzie's eyes.
"She called me a gem."
Nick looked like he was having trouble holding back the tears, too. "Of course she did. She always knew a diamond was this girl's best friend." He let out a bark of laughter. "That's a terrible pun." Lizzie reached to kiss him. "I know, but it's also true. Best friend and lover. A girl can't ask for more." She glanced down at her ring finger. "Except perhaps a real diamond?" Another burst of laughter rumbled through him as he carefully put the diary on the bedside table.
"Your subtlety is just one of the many things I love about you."
Before she could ask him to list some others, he placed a finger on her lips.
"I'll get you that diamond, Lizzie Donoghue. But first, we have a lot of catching up to do."
And with that, he pressed his mouth against hers, very effectively silencing her. The End. You've been listening to Too Damn Nice by Catherine Freeman, narrated by Penny Andrews, published by Whole Story Quest, an imprint of W.F. Howes Limited. This work is copyrighted 2017, Catherine Freeman. This recording is copyrighted 2018, W.F. Howes Limited.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.